hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming on Pentecost Sunday, also a holiday weekend. So the empty seats represent people who are at the lake right now, and we love them, but we love you more because you're here. Hey, we're going to wrap up our sermon series today, our Joel All Things New series, and we figured what better way to do that than as a little group sermon. So, Brandon, you're you, and Sandy is Sandy.
This is true.
I just want to say, because I'm talking, that I super appreciate these guys because we work together on this series, and they both have real jobs, and they have little kids, and they have a life, and they sacrifice a ton of time and effort and energy to work with me and to bring messages this series, and so I'm just really grateful for my friends. And we've actually had fun. I think we've had fun. And there's a certain Starbucks where we meet to plan, and we call it now our Starbucks. And they haven't given us free drinks yet, but I think they will.
I don't think
they know our names.
Okay. tell us a little something. Brandon, how long have you been at the Houston Vineyard?
Yeah, I've been here since, I think it was 2002, so right
old
around
school.
20 plus years. Yeah.
Whoa. He is our elder on the board.
That's the elder.
Sandy, when did you pop up?
2011.
It's been a while.
So it's been coming.
Excellent. So we are going to be at the end of Joel 2, and what you're going to learn today is that this will link us to the Pentecost story in Acts 2. So we're going to be doing a little Old Testament, New Testament today. We are excited about what God wants to do, and Brandon is going to start us off with reading Joel 2, starting in verse 28. But before we do that, let's pray together. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are thankful for your presence. Thank you for the ways in which you are already moving here among us today. And we ask that as we open your word, that you would stay near. That you would move among us. That you would speak to us. That you would touch us. Ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear. God, give us hearts that are open to anything that you want to do this morning. We love you. This is your time. This is for you. Amen. All right. I'm going to pass over to Brandon.
Amen. Yeah. Not literally, but just figuratively.
Figuratively.
Pass it. Yeah. Awesome. So we'll be finishing up Joel 2 today, verses 28 through 32. Pretty quick little section there, but super important, ties in greatly, like Megan said, with Pentecost Sunday in Acts, so I'll read through that. I just want to say one thing. So the song we did, the last song about cherry blossoms, right? So you're on the worship team.
Sometimes.
Because you're here and I have a microphone, I just want to say that maybe, you know, they talk about springtime and winter. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we just throw summer in there for us in here. That we need the Lord in the summer. I'm just going to say that. Carla,
I'll talk to Carla.
Carla.
I'm just kidding. You shouldn't give me a microphone. So let's read. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So this is a very interesting verse, very important prophecy here that we see. Last week we kind of looked at the great reversal of all this destruction we saw in chapter 1 of Joel with the plague of locusts and this catastrophic event of the trees and the wine and the oil and the grain and the crops being destroyed. And last week we saw new life coming, right? We saw this in the form of new wine and new oil. We saw the spring and autumn rains refreshing and falling upon the land. And so Megan talked about, we saw signs of life. That's where we start seeing signs of life after this destruction. We see lament, we see repentance, and now we're seeing some new life. So this is great news. However, with this text here, what's really interesting is we kind of started out with a key phrase there where the prophet says, and afterward. And a few weeks ago when I was speaking, we were kind of looking at this day. Israelites at the time were very much past, present, future-oriented people. So all the events were kind of set in context of what had come before and what was coming in the future. And God often spoke to the Israelites in terms of what had happened before, reminding them, and they had reminded themselves of the way God had delivered them, and similarly for the way that he would ultimately redeem them and vindicate them and save them in the end. So here we kind of turn to that lens where we're looking at this Day of the Lord event where the Lord Yahweh would come and redeem his people, intervene in the world, and establish his divine sovereignty, right? So this is a very, very important time, and it's really, you know, important that we're kind of changing the lens here and looking a little bit further forward. And so, you know, as previously in the last week, we saw the rains falling and replenishing the land. Here we see the Spirit falling and giving new life to the people. And the way that this is done here is in the form of spiritual gifts. And so, you know, now it's not just the grain and the fields and the crops that are blessed, but all of the people. I really like the King James Version. I go back to that every once in a while, the all flesh. I think that's really neat. I love the all flesh text there. So here, yeah, we see this includes men, women, children, the elderly, servants. This is not unimportant here. This is not insignificant because, you know, while at the time, you know, probably certain Israelite men over a certain age would be seen of having some level of authority and some level of access to the Spirit of God and God's, you know, will. That's not necessarily true for some of these others, including women and children and even especially servants, right? However, here we see that there's no distinction on the pouring out of the Spirit. There's no distinction in access to the Lord's Spirit. So we see later in Acts, you know, it says that God is no respecter of persons, and I really like that text. Similarly, in Ezekiel 39, talking about the same day of the Lord of heaven, the prophet says that the Lord will no longer hide his face from the people as he pours his Spirit down upon them. Different things that are meant to fall, as we see, right, and to witness to his power, his divine sovereignty. These are all witnessing events, to witness to God's power and that he is God, right? This is important stuff. Similarly, we talk about, you know, these signs in heaven and earth. We see the sun turned to darkness, the moon to blood, billows of smoke. So these are very important physical manifestations that we're seeing in the heavens and on the earth that the people are looking at. And here, this has to do kind of more with, you know, some of this, what we talked about previously is like, you know, the Lord calls us to repent. So there's a call here. There's physical manifestations, visible signs that lead the people to call on the Lord, to repent. And the amazing thing is at the end of the text, towards the end there, we're told that it really ends on a huge note of hope where we're told that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved in verse 32. So obviously, you know, we still believe that today. We still know that to be true today. And so I feel that's super important and really significant that Joel speaks about this.
We do still believe that today.
We do.
I really like the whole there's no distinction. Mm-hmm. I think from that particular verses you just read, that's the most important thing to take away. No distinction. You all get it. It being the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit
of God.
For all. So I am going to do the quick summary of this whole three, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on the third chapter of Joel, because we want to lean more into this this passage that we just read, and we want to see where it comes back up in Acts 2, of judgment, victory, and blessing, the restoration of God's people happening. God says that he will act on their behalf. That means he will deal with their enemies, and they will live securely in the land. God will dwell among them. The presence of God is an important theme, not only in Joel, but in Joel, is he will dwell among them, he will live with them in the land, and they will live secure. As he restores and blesses the people, his presence will be among them. And in all of it, he's constantly pointing back to this day of the Lord, which really, to me, in Megan's words, is he's pointing back to the big story of God, reminding them, this is what I'm doing on the earth. Your story, is tied up in my story. What I'm doing with you is a picture of what I'm doing on the earth and my mission moving forward. And so that's how we wrap up Joel. But what we wanted to do today, because it's Pentecost Sunday and because Christians around the world are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, we want to jump into Acts 2. And so, Sandy.
So I'm going to connect some dots. So Brandon spoke about the prophecy that Joel says. And I really, that first line of and prophecy, I will pour out my spirit over all people. And we see the beginnings of this prophecy being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 with the disciples, where they receive the vitally important to the church, knowing the significance of Pentecost. So for those of you who don't know, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples. He said in John 14 that an advocate would come after he ascended to heaven, this advocate being the Holy Spirit, and that this advocate would live with them and in them. So I love that it says with them, so dwelling with them, and in them, dwelling within. So it's not just a inside kind of thing. It should be visible within our community. And it was visible when the disciples received it. And so as we go into Acts chapter 2, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit descends, and it is meant to be spread out. It's not meant to just be received by the disciples, and then there it stays. That's not it. It's meant to be spread out. Remember, no distinction. So the Holy Spirit is poured out. It's meant to go out, and it continues to spread today like a wildfire. And it is beautiful thing for the church, because this Holy Spirit will unite us as one body and in one mind. So really, happy birthday, church. It's Pentecost. This is the birth of the church. And so this is really, I know, important to us, but I want to give you a little bit of background before we go into Acts 2. You're going to see in Acts 2, nations even, they speak multiple languages. But the reason is because in Jewish tradition, they also celebrate Pentecost, but it's called Shavuot. So Shavuot is like a feast where you bring the first offerings of your harvest. And so you make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and you leave these offerings at the temple. So that's why there's so many different Jewish people present from all over the world in Jerusalem the day the disciples receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to point out one last thing before we go into Acts 2. I want to compare the Spirit of God. So if you read in Exodus chapter 19, when the Spirit of God descends over Mount Sinai, where Moses gave the Ten Commandments, it says that God descended like a fire from the heavens, and that there was smoke billowing all around the mountain, and there was thunder and lightning and the sound of horns, just constant sound of horns. And then when we go into Acts 2, it will describe that a fire, the Holy Spirit will descend as a fire from the heavens and split off, rush over each disciple that's present and rest on them. And that the sound of a rushing wind will fill the house that they're in. I want to point that to you simply because I want you to see that this is God. That God in the future, never changing God. So let's read Acts chapter 2. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. I have it on my paper. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?"
Wow.
It's exciting.
That's exciting, yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Break it down, Brandon.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so, yeah, this is a really cool text that obviously, you know, really reflects back to Joel. So while in Joel we saw this prophetic outpouring of the Spirit and this, abundance of gifts and call all upon the Lord and just recognize his divine sovereignty. Here we see a very specific gift given, as Sandy mentioned, which was this gift of tongues or of languages, right? So everybody there that was present from all over the empire and beyond was able to understand the gospel, the good news, within their own language, within their own mother tongue. And there's something really neat here that is at play, and you might just gloss over it if you're reading it quickly, but I wanted to just kind of take just a second and point this out. I think it's significant from some things I've been looking at and some missiological studies and stuff like that, and it really plays into what Sandy said about no distinction, that being the big thing to remember is no distinction. So with that kind of in your mind, if you think about it, this isn't the way that God had to do it, right? He could have just had everybody there from all over the world, all over the different nations and cultures, understand one common language, right? It could have been that everybody just understood Greek, or that everybody understood Hebrew, or that everybody understood Arabic, or whatever it was, right? The gospel, the good news in their own language. And this isn't necessarily how it's always understood to be done, right? I just was, the other day thinking about this example of Islam, perhaps, and their understanding that the only, acceptable way to read or to hear or to understand the text, truly, the only acceptable way would be to hear it in Arabic. There's nothing particularly Islamic about Arabic, obviously. Some of the earliest Christians in the East spoke Arabic. There's millions of Christians alive today that speak Arabic, so Islam doesn't have a monopoly on Arabic, but that's the language that the founders spoke, so it's kind of been the language that they use and that is acceptable as the inspired language. But that's not what we see happening here. That's not what we see God doing. We see him, incorporating this gospel into all languages and thereby all cultures, right? It's pretty significant. So it shows that God values and honors people. He values and honors their culture. Everybody has something to bring. Because when you translate the gospel in a different language, there are going to be different nuances and stuff that come out there that are very specific and particular to your culture that you're bringing to the table that maybe everybody doesn't have. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this great quote that I heard quoted from somebody else that quoted him that quoted somebody else. I don't remember where
this
the quote
This sounds like
came.
A great quote.
Yeah, it's a great quote. But it was essentially, I need the Christ in you and you need the Christ in me. And we understand that in the context of church and life group. And, we need to hear God, what he's doing in your life and the way you understand God and the way you speak to God and how he's working and under things in your life. And that might really help me. And so because I've got my own specific context, right? And it's the same thing with culture. So, in Joel, we saw there's no distinction between genders or ages or free or slave, anything. Anybody can receive the Spirit of God. Here we see the same thing with no distinction amongst cultures. So the big takeaway being, there's no single Christian culture, which is awesome, right? Christians inhabit all cultures of the world, everywhere, all nations, all people groups. So nobody's got a monopoly on Christian culture. God values all people. There's equal access given to the Spirit to all people. And in the Vineyard, we like to say everyone gets to play. So everyone has something, and not just that they get to play, they have something important to bring. They have their voice is important, and we value that. So I thought that was a really nice, important part of what's going on here in Pentecost that really plays into the no distinction part. Yeah.
I love that. One of the things that I notice in this passage is that it says a crowd came to in bewilderment. What's going on? This I'm hearing this language. I'm hearing they weren't 100% clear, and it even tells us later on that some people were making fun and saying they've had too much wine. They were trying to explain it. Oh, they must be drunk. They must something else must be going on here because it was an odd. Nothing like this had happened before. And so I want us to actually pick up in verse 14 because Peter, I love old Peter. Peter's great. We can depend on Peter, except for those three times we couldn't. But but he gets up, and I just imagine him being like, okay. Let me just explain to you guys what's going on. Let me set the record straight. Here we go. And so it says in verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11. So he had his, kind of like us. I wonder if they had the comfy stools. He got up with the 11, with his pals, He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. Check. Okay. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. The Bible is full of comedy. No, he says in verse 16, he says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's like, guys, remember what Joel said all those years ago? Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both in the heaven and women, I will pour out my spirit in low days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood before fire, and billows of the smoke. The sun will be turned to dark, and the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so, as Sandy mentioned before, this is really the birth of the church. When the Spirit came at Pentecost, the church was born. And what really struck me this week as we were talking and praying and considering kind of what God was doing today, I feel compelled to remind us that we are still living in the age of the Spirit. We are a continuation of the church that was birthed all these years ago. And just as these folks were just learning to live without Jesus face to face, because he just ascended in Acts chapter 1, and so this is new to them. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you someone to help you. Wait on it. The Spirit will come. And so they are receiving the Spirit, and then they go out as they go out in the rest of the book of Acts and are operating in the power of the Spirit, and the church is being born, and people are coming to faith. We are still living in that age of the Spirit. The Spirit helps me, and the Spirit helps you. And so to me today, that is, it's not just a reminder, but it's really an invitation to live into, to be people of the Spirit. We love the Father, we love the Son, and we love the Holy Spirit. And especially here in the Vineyard, we are Holy Spirit people. We love the Holy Spirit, and we embrace all of the gifts that the Spirit wants to bring. I dusted out some of my old Vineyard materials. If anyone's ever done like VLI or VI, this is from the olden days. But Derek Morphew writes in his book, Breakthrough, the church lives between the coming and consummation of the kingdom, between the times. This does not mean that the church lives in a vacuum, caught between memory and expectation. The Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit fills the church, period. The ministry of the Spirit links what began in Jesus with what continues in the church as one extended event, undivided and yet manifest in repeated waves of divine intervention. We are people of the Spirit, living in the age of the Spirit. And I have to say that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I know we have a lot of different backgrounds probably and different experiences. And I want to just say from here, and I think we are in the statement that everyone's type of experience, one type of manifestation of the Spirit, but instead we are chasing after the love of God, his presence and his power, and we want him to move and to manifest himself in us in whatever way he wants to, and we are open to that. You know, Joel spoke of dreams and visions and prophecies, and there are those of you who experience the Holy Spirit in that way. There are those of you who have had or will have physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit. There are those of you who will be healed. Some will have a deep sense of peace or just be overwhelmed with a sense of being loved by God. All of this and more is the Holy Spirit. And that is how he comes, however he wants to. As just a quick primer, and this isn't a full class on the Holy Spirit, but just a few reminders for myself this week, for us, and for any who are listening. A few of the things that the Holy Spirit does: gives us a new birth. We are born again through the Holy Spirit, seals our adoption. He helps us to pray, giving us access to the Father. He enables us to understand the Word. The Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus. The Bible talks about having fruit of the Spirit in our lives. As my character and my life begins to reflect some of that love, joy, peace, patience, if you know a song about it, unity. That's the Holy Spirit Trinity earlier. Holy Spirit gives gifts for the common good. The Holy Spirit is our source of power to be witnesses, to serve, and the Holy Spirit is also our source of truth and wisdom and peace. Guys, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. There are things that each of us here are going to be called to do. There are things that you are being called to do right now that you cannot do in your own power, that you cannot do with your own intelligence, your own efforts, your own logic and or creativity or best laid plans. And you guys are a brilliant crowd. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the things that God has called us to do. And so there are those of us today, maybe this is an aside, but maybe not, but I really feel like part of what he's saying to some of us today is, you need me. You actually need me to do what I have asked you to do. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. We were talking a little bit at our Starbucks about some of our Holy Spirit experiences. And I confessed this to my alpha group earlier this spring. And so I will now confess it to you all on the microphone. I know, confession. That's what this is, guys, right? Group confession?
Yes, let's go. Let's do it.
I first did an alpha course when I group was going through the first years at this church. So I'm already a Christian, but I'll take that class. It sounds fine. I'm sure I know everything in there. And so anyway, I'm going along. And if you've done Alpha, you know that around week 15, 13, 11, one of the later weeks is there's like a special Holy Spirit emphasis. Like we typically do like a Holy Spirit Saturday. And so it's like your big Alpha weekend and it's like extra talks and it's extra ministry times. And I remember that first year when I went through the Alpha course, I had to work on Holy Spirit weekend, and I was secretly so relieved because I did not want to go. I didn't want to go because it sounded weird and creepy, and I didn't know what they were going to do to me, and I thought maybe they would make me shout or, you know, drink poison or handle a snake. I don't know, but I was really freaked out by it, and I was really glad that I had the excuse that I had to work. So my experience with the Holy Spirit has been bit by bit. I grew up in a stream that the Holy Spirit was really just kind of like Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder, like this, your conscience. If you feel bad about something, that's the Holy Spirit. Like the still small voice, which the still small voice is a thing. I'm not making fun of that. But there was no other Holy Spirit activity, and those other churches who did Holy Spirit stuff were kind of, you know, I thought, and so I was weird, and it was over the course of many years being here around you good folks that I learned that the Holy Spirit isn't weird, but in fact, the Holy Spirit is a close companion and my friend, and I have experienced the Holy Spirit in many different ways over the years, and anyway, that's just a little bit of some of my early memories, but Sandy,
yeah,
tell me about some of your thoughts.
My earliest memories of the Holy Spirit. I was part of the weird church.
Yeah. You guys were the church across town that we were like,
So I went to a Spanish-speaking church, and it was Pentecostal. It was very charismatic. So, like, during worship, there was, like, people with ribbons dancing, and we had flags waving, and there was the tambourine just going. And, you know, I was used to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit being speaking in tongues, falling out in the Spirit, which if you don't know what that is, it basically means you fall backwards while someone's praying for you because the weight of the Spirit is too much. But it was very, a little bit of an exhibit. Like, people had to see that you had the Holy Spirit, or else you did not have it. And so I came to the Vineyard with that, and you guys don't do that, so... And I really didn't connect so very much with the Holy Spirit, and I'm really glad that we have the Holy Spirit, but that's about all I know. That's where my relationship ends. So when I started to go on mission trips and also coming to the Houston Vineyard, I remember a woman praying for me, and she put her hand on me. She was praying for me, and she just said very quietly, she said, I have to tell you something. I think I have a word for you. And I was like, okay, who are you?
Excellent question.
What do you know about me? So she told me, well, I see you swimming upstream, and there's a lot of obstacles in the way, and you still are fighting to swim upstream, but there's some doubts forming, and God sees you, and he wants to tell you, keep going. And I, at that moment, just bawled like a baby, and felt seen by God. And that would not have happened had she not been brave enough to say what the Holy Spirit was asking her to tell me. And I would not have received it as truth had I not had the Holy Spirit within me to perceive that as truth. And so I really love unity with you all. I see more of the Holy Spirit working in you, speaking to me. So what was the Bonhoeffer quote? Christ in you speaking to me, the Christ in me speaking to you, something like that.
Something like that.
We're just making it up.
We're making it up now.
It's a game of telephone at this point.
I know. But it is in community and with one another that we experience, not even just begin to have relationship with what is the Holy Spirit. So we can teach one another simply by being open to receiving from and speak it out. You know, go up and pray for someone if you feel pushed to go pray for them. I'm kind of going into a tangent, so I think we need to close it up, but going to you.
We're gonna land the plane.
Land it.
Well, we obviously aren't going to have Pentecost Sunday without doing some ministry time and having just a time to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us up again. You know, we pray this ancient prayer, come Holy Spirit, and we don't pray that because the Holy Spirit isn't here until we say these words. We say those words as a reminder, really, to ourselves, and we're saying it because we need the Holy Spirit to consistently, to constantly fill us, to fill us again and to fill us again, to fill our own lives, our own hearts, to fill our church, to fill our communities. And so it's not magic words, but it's a way that we really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we want you to experience that today. Maybe some of you are having a moment of recognition that, you know, I haven't really thought much about the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I'm trying to do some things on my own and I need the Holy Spirit in me. Whatever it is today, we just want to take some time. We want to create some space for the Holy Spirit. And, you know, one of our values here in the Vineyard is we don't have to hype things up. The Holy Spirit is his own hype squad. And so all we do is create space and we invite his presence and we open ourselves to what he wants to do. And so I'm going to invite us to stand. I'm going to go ahead and stand. And what I'd like us to do, if you're comfortable, just extending your hands in a posture of receiving, and we're just going to take some time to pray, to wait on the Lord, team folks. And then after a bit, if any of them have words of knowledge that they would like to share, I'll let them know. They can come up and share some of those. And these words are simply, we share them usually at the end of service, but these are ways in which God lets you know that you're seen, lets you know that his heart is for you. And so we're going to have that here in a little bit. And then at that point, we'll ask our prayer team members to maybe grab a spot on the wall. And you are also welcome to pray for one another in your seats if you have a word for an individual around you. But let's just first just create some space here and pray, come Holy Spirit. We invite your presence now.
Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh today? Would you come and fill your people today? Would you come and fill this Spirit afresh today?
Tengo una palabra para alguien en español. Just a word for someone in Spanish. Tu corazón dice, ven Espíritu Santo, pero lo que quieres es el amor de Dios que te llene desde lo más profundo de tu ser y que salga para afuera y que restaura lo que está adentro que está quebrado. There's someone here who says, come Holy Spirit, but truly it is come love of God. Restore what's broken inside of me.
If there are members of our prayer team who have any words to share, if you're on that side, Brandon will share his mic with you, and if you're on my side, I'll share my mic with you. But we're going to open it up at this point, and we're just going to continue to wait.
Later, Acts 2. And for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So, if you don't know Jesus today, I feel like this invitation is for you, for the Holy Spirit, to come know Jesus. But I also feel if you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience him in a new way, if you felt afar off, this invitation is for you to come and get prayer. And also, I felt that there may be someone who is struggling with a foot injury. So come for prayer if you're struggling with a foot injury.
It's a short word. For someone whose life is based on reasoning and thinking, Lord wants you to know that 2 + 2 is equal to infinity. Think about it. The Lord wants you to come and touch the hem of his glory that's beyond reason, beyond thought, and beyond reason.
If you are going through a hard times, a times of trouble, the Lord said, trust in me. Trust in my wisdom, and I will take you from victory to victory. And if you haven't experienced the fullness of his Holy Spirit, today is the day. Today is for you. The Lord is here for you.
I hear the Father say, my beloved, I'm not far, I am near. I'm not far, I am near. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you.
I think God wants you, all of you, and maybe someone specific to know that you belong to him. And the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin.
Love. I have been really pouring out and burdened in this way. And I think the Lord wants to minister to you today.
As Mark comes up to share, I would invite, if you're available to pray, if you would find a spot around.
I think it's just amazing how God puts a composite message together that is in agreement, you know, with each other. And I wanted to say that the spirit of prophecy is the essence of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And I think what Jesus would testify to someone today is that for those of you, you're on his heart. And that is for those who may feel very weary of being, you feel disconnected from God. That's kind of your experience. You feel disconnected and you feel very far away. That seemed to be a theme, like Hannah, to all those who are far away. Your experience is that you feel like that you're, you know, without counsel from God and not seen. The Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is given to each one of us so that we would never feel like orphans, that we would never feel alone, that we would never feel forgotten. So come and take the water of life freely without price.
Like to receive prayer, you can feel free to leave it open for just another moment.